gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, you are listening to Broken But Glorious.
Hulk Hogan, Hollywood Hulkster, whatever they call you, I'm coming after you, you coward.
Hello everyone, and welcome to Broken But Glorious Wrestling Podcast. I'm your host for this evening, Oliver Newman, author of A Fan's Perspective 2016, What a Year to Be a Fan of WWE, and A Fan's Perspective, One Man's Exploration of British Wrestling, available on paperback and Kindle via Amazon now. And I'm back here at Broken But Glorious Wrestling Podcast for all those people who have missed me over the last, I don't know, month or so. Hopefully you've missed me. You probably haven't, but, you know, never mind. And, yeah, we had a Impact Wrestling show on Thursday night, which actually coincided with my birthday. Thank you all for the well wishes. And it was Under Pressure, which is how I'm feeling right now, considering I've been around for a short while. And, yeah, we're bringing in Adam again from the Impact Lounge, and here he is. How you doing, Adam?
Hello, everyone. And I was one of those people who missed you dearly, Oliver. And
I'm sure you was.
I'm so glad you're back. But no, genuinely, it's great to be back on the show. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no worries. I mean, like I said, the chemistry we have talking Impact Wrestling is the reason why any time a big show comes up, it has to be me and you, in all honesty. And that's why I reached out to Chris to make this happen. And I'm glad that we've... you know, when Chris was the host, we was able to talk about it. And when Chris isn't available, I'm the host and me and you get to talk about Impact Wrestling, because the upsurge since Don Callis and Scott D'Amore have taken over has been a, you know, fascinating viewing, really. So I've enjoyed every second of it. So, yeah, going back to the show Under Pressure on Thursday night, you know, we got a number of matches that happened. And first of all, though, there was Sonjay Dutt addressing the Impact Wrestling locker room on the mystery attacks that have been happening backstage. What do you think about this? If you know who's behind it, possibly don't spoil it, because I'm not at that point yet. But what do you make of all these mystery attacks happening backstage?
Yeah, I quite like the storyline. I really do. But one of the things that makes me laugh is the way that this show panned out is that they've tried to point the finger at Petey Williams, who's one of the smallest wrestlers on the roster. And it just makes me laugh, you know, that they're trying to say that basically Petey Williams is the one who's going around beating people up backstage. Which, you know, it's funny, but I do like the presentation of all these segments and those kind of things, and the way that, you know, the X appears and it kind of fades off, this, you know, breaks away, almost like Thanos and the Avengers, you know, fading away kind of thing. So I do like the presentation of it all. And yeah, I when I watched the show, I genuinely didn't know. I think they do kind of reveal it over the next few weeks, and I think I know who it is now, but I won't spoil a thing, I promise you. My input into this show tonight will be completely spoiler-free of what happens going forward.
Yeah, I was thinking, because I was watching the Brian Cage Desmond Xavier match, if you look at the back of Xavier's tights, hasn't he got like a red X?
He has indeed, and quite a few people have pointed this out, and, you know, obviously with a name like Xavier, you know, you think of the X-Men as well, so it all ties into that.
Yeah, it was Desmond Xavier all along, people.
No, I know who it is, and this is, I've been joking about this on my podcast, but TNA have got a habit of revealing huge surprises, and they're very underwhelming, so I'm going to predict it's Tito Ortiz again,
okay.
The guy who's doing all this.
Wow.
It's not, by the way.
Yeah, that'd be definitely out of left field, wouldn't it, really?
Usually is when TNA reveals
something, it's usually TNA. It's not called TNA anymore, Adam. It's like Impact Wrestling.
Sorry, you're quite right. You're quite right.
Yeah, I thought that was just me who did that on conference calls and then had to correct myself. So, I'm glad we're still thinking it's TNA, though. That's good in one way, because it's not just me thinking it. Yeah, so going to the matches and stuff, we first up we had Eli Drake and Big Papa Pump, Scott Steiner. What did you make of this match?
Okay, well, just with regard to the whole angle, first of all, you've got two of the best speakers of the game for different reasons. Eli Drake is great, he's charismatic. I think he is one of the best speakers in wrestling at the moment. Whereas Steiner's a guy who's just nuts, but he's entertaining nuts, you know. Yeah. So you don't know what he's going to say. In that same way, you've got a crazy uncle who you always think, oh my God, what's he going to say next and embarrass me? So you have two of the best speakers in the game here, and they've really done a disservice to this kind of feud. It just feels so, so rushed.
Mm.
The match itself was quite short. It was way better than I thought it was going to be. And you know, fair play to both Steiner and Eli. You know, Eli let himself get thrown around, a couple of overhead suplexes, you know, yeah, a couple of belly to bellies. You know, so it wasn't a squash match, and the ending was a bit quick, but, you know, played in with the storyline. But I think just from the break of them being a tag team, it felt forced and very, very quick. And I think it was more to do with the fact that, A, Steiner was only around for these tapings, which is a shame, because I think he might be at the tapings. I haven't seen anything, but the way I read it was that, you know, he's only around short time, so they needed to write him off before the next set.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, obviously, Eli Drake's contract's up at the moment.
Yeah.
So you know, once again, maybe they didn't want to put him in a big feud or something like that until they got that cleared up.
Mm.
But it just felt too rushed, because they could have done so much more. And I would like them to have kept Steiner around.
Yeah.
I think that, not as a wrestler, well, as a wrestler, but more as a character, you know. Can you imagine if he would have been started berating all the X-Division-type wrestlers? Of, you know, shouting at them, saying you're wimps, you're weedy, you know, all these kinds
like
of things.
Like when he was the mentor to the man we mentioned earlier, Petey Williams, that helped him come on a great deal as a character, didn't it? And obviously the Kevin Nash X Division stuff from way back when was highly entertaining. And I completely agree with you. I think you keep him around. I think how much knowledge he could pass on to the different tag teams. You know, especially Caleb Conley and Trevor Lee. I think they would have learned a great deal from Scott Steiner, LAX as well, in, you know, in a different way and stuff. From a tag team perspective, he's got to be one of the best teachers around that there could possibly be. And, you know, when he's been wrestling, you can't say he's not give 100% every time. So it's a strange one, in all honesty. Yeah.
But if they're putting the two guys together, you know, at least give them something to do. But even with the way it's been programmed, they've done a few backstage things. But you could have really let these guys have fun in the ring, you know, and berate each other in the ring, you know. And it just never happened. And it was a shame, because these two guys have said two potentially the most entertaining things in any wrestling promotion that you could have. They just didn't, you know, they didn't let them off the chain, did they?
But
anyway, the match itself was, yeah, it was all right.
But why rush this match for Under Pressure when you've, you know, obviously I guess I'm spoiling what we're about to review and stuff, but you don't have a tag title match, you don't have an X Division title match, why not leave this kind of match for Slammiversary? It's, well, yeah, something on the, along those lines, because obviously this is two big stars. I guess the only thing you could say is they wanted to get this match out of them before Eli Drake's made a decision on his contract.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe.
It's just a shame, but there you go. It is what it is. And, you know, the match wasn't terrible by any means, you know, but it's not one that Meltzer's going to give 5 stars anytime soon.
yeah, you know, the only thing I could say about this is the ending. I know it plays into the feud and what's been happening and stuff, but it just come across like that's how Eli Drake needed to beat Scott Steiner. And I'm not sure if that's the right way to go at this stage of people's careers, in all honesty.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
But once again, that
plays into the contract stuff, doesn't it? I mean, that's the reason why, you know, Daniel Bryan's going up against Big Cass at Money in the Bank, because he hasn't signed or said he's not going to sign the WWE contract that's up in September, because of them not knowing, I guess, same situation with Eli Drake, that they're unsure of whether to put him as, you know, towards the top of the card as the main man.
Well, see, another thing I would say is that the top of the card at Impact is crying out for a top face. And I know Eli Drake isn't a face, but you could have made him a face in all of this. Mm. And it's very easy to turn him. You know, really easy. Because the crowd want to like Eli Drake.
Yeah.
So the same way they want to like EC3. And although they messed about with EC3 and they did make him a very likable face, mm-hmm. you could easily, you know, have a face Eli, just the same as The Rock was a face or Austin was a face, you know.
Yeah.
So it's a shame, but hopefully, I don't think he will. Everything about it feels like Eli is going. But I really, really hope he resigns because, you know, he could be the face of, and I'm not just talking about as a face in heels, just, you know, the man.
The face of the company.
Mr. Impact. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. He could be. Absolutely. I mean, he has been, you know, my guy in the company, honestly, ever since I saw the dummy, yeah, stuff and the, you know, pressing the button and I, you know, rooted him on to his first heavyweight championship in the company. And even though I'm a huge fan of Austin Aries, I really didn't think that he should have won the title because I was really behind Eli Drake's character and his and just him as a person. So yeah, it's one of these, really. He could be the face of this company or he could be somebody in another company, and that's the decision that's got to be made, isn't it?
Yeah. Only thing is that if he goes over back to WWE, you know, is he going to be an AJ or is he going to be a Bobby Roode? Unfortunately, I think they're more likely to him than the Bobby Roode route. You know, I just don't think they'll do anything with him.
Yeah, all right, fair enough. Yep, so the next match is Madison Rayne against Tessa Blanchard. And what did you think of this one, Adam?
Okay, so the great thing about this was that Madison Rayne's whole raison d'etre for hating Tessa was that she doesn't like bullies and people thinking that they're above their positions.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the former queen and person who is, you know, involved with the beautiful people who bullied everyone.
Yeah.
So the storyline was ridiculous. What I did like about the match... First,
you're not allowed to have a long-term memory as a wrestling fan, Adam. Come on.
That's true. Yeah, but the one thing I did like about the match is that Tessa, although she lost, which was a stupid decision, by the way, having a lose, but although she lost, she looked incredibly strong in it. And I don't think it did her any damage because she looked like a star. And Tessa, I think she's better than any of the other knockouts already, you know, in the way that she can work the camera, you know, the way she carries herself in the ring.
Yeah.
She's absolutely the complete package.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing that she needs to work on. And in this defeat, I didn't think that she'd look weak because it was a roll-up. But, yeah, there was one thing I didn't like about this match. And that was a couple of weeks ago when Madison came back. They made a big thing that Josh was her partner or her husband.
Yeah.
But in this match, he didn't make any reference at all. So when she was getting beaten up, he wasn't like saying, oh my God, my wife, or anything like that. He was just, you know, calling it shot by shot, which was a bit strange to me. But
yeah.
I thought it was a terrible booking decision to give Tessa a first loss and only a second match.
Mm.
But the only positive was that she was booked like a star.
Yeah. I think in this situation, completely agree with what you're saying about Tessa being the star. Can't believe that WWE passed up on it or, you know, something along those lines happened. I think she's done an interview recently where she was, you know, gutted about not getting a WWE contract. I'm not sure why they did pass up on it, kind of thing, especially with the heritage and, you know, that obviously plays in someone's favour in this situation. And it's much like the Eli Drake situation. Tessa could have been a star in WWE, but she could be the star in Impact Wrestling. And Eli can be a star in WWE, but he could be the man in Impact Wrestling. So it goes to show you what could happen, you know, if you look at the situation from both sides. So, yeah, completely agree. She looked like a star in the match. I don't know. I'm kind of on the fence about the loss because it didn't. It's just a, you know, it's just a fluke win, isn't it? Really. So that doesn't make her look bad. If they're going to bring Madison Rayne back, you know, I enjoyed her matches. So She'd be a great addition to the knockout division, and you know, for the things that she can do behind the scenes and stuff. So yeah, and I don't think this is the end of the feud, is it really?
No, I don't think so.
So
the one thing I'll say about Madison, which bothers me, and it is that she just doesn't look menacing because she is so small and so lean and cut. She just actually looks tiny, and it looks like she would bounce off Tessa in a real fight. hopefully they're not going to build the division back around Madison. I do think they will. I don't think that's stupid.
You can't build. The division's got to be built around Tessa Blanchard, hasn't it, really?
Yeah.
Don Callis said it on commentary, didn't he? If he was going to build a women's division around anyone, it would be Tessa Blanchard, because she's the complete package. So that's the route they need to go down, really. Okay, the next match is Brian Cage against Desmond Xavier. And this was my favourite match of the night. Really big fan of Brian Cage, and I really like Desmond Xavier as well. What did you think of this match, Adam?
Just to pick up on that thing, I'm a huge Brian Cage fan as well. I think he's been fantastic since he's in the company. I just haven't clicked with Desmond Xavier. I just don't like the guy. I don't know why.
Yeah, you said that last time.
Yeah, there's no personality about him, and you know, okay, he can do a lot of the flippy stuff, but you know, I just don't like him. This match should have been brilliant because Brian Cage, despite being whatever it was they said, 270, he flies around like an X Division wrestler. And it's good because he reminds me a little bit of a muscly Samoa Joe when he was in the X Division.
Yeah.
But in this one, and he wasn't at the first block of tapings within this block, so I think he missed like the first three nights.
Okay.
Mainly because he was injured, I think.
Oh, okay.
And it looked like he was injured in this match because he had tape up his back of his leg. And
yeah, I noticed that.
And a few of these moves, it just didn't seem fluid. And when you've seen any other Brian Cage match, everything looks fluid. It's like Ishimori in that sense. That every time you see him, it looks like this is a brilliant match. But in this, it looked like there was a few botches and things, and I just don't think he was fit. And because of that, this match didn't work for me. It really didn't work for me.
Oh, okay.
It was the right result. Right result, though. Right result.
Yeah, no, I really enjoyed this, and then it wasn't really mentioned on commentary, I don't think, but it was mentioned in the, you know, Pete Williams Desmond Xavier match to get into this match, that the person who won this is going to go for the X Division title, aren't they? Unless I'm mistaken.
No, you're absolutely right. Yeah, it was number one contenders match.
Yeah,
and so Matt Sydal will be facing them.
Yeah, so basically everything that I called on the Redemption show, when I said that Brian Cage should be in the X Division, is kind of coming to fruition, isn't it, Adam?
Absolutely, and do you know what? I'd be quite happy if he, and I said it before, you know, I'd be happy if he's X Division or Grand Champion, and he holds the belt for a long time. No worries about it. One thing I thought was very good about this match, and we'll come on to on the main event as well, was that they clearly defined who Brian Cage was at the end of the match, and that he's a face, because up until this point he's brilliant in the ring and he's got that, you know, kind of machine character, you know, but no emotion.
Yeah.
At the end of this match he held up Desmond Xavier's hand, you know, and that was a face thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's Don Callis all over, that he wants to go back to this old school face is a face, a heel's a heel.
Yeah.
You know, not have this grey area, which I wholeheartedly agree. And it was great, although we still don't know what motivates Brian Cage, all these kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
At least we know he's a good guy.
But didn't Don Callis do an interview where he said that, the cool villains are making it really hard for the heroes to, go out there and win the crowd? So that definitely sounds like this is something they would implement if they got the chance, because, you know, you're putting your money where your mouth is, aren't you, really? You're saying something, okay, and then you're implementing it straight away. So yeah, that was good. Yeah, I like that as well. Like I said, I love the X Division style of wrestling, and I love that Brian Cage is a heavyweight who can wrestle an X Division style. So that's why this match really appealed to me. I thought it was really well done. The next match was Su Yung against Ali for the Knockouts Championship in a last rights, which is like a casket match. What did you think of this match, Adam?
Well, I thought it was really... Well, no, wait, the match itself I thought was pretty rubbish. But the whole presentation of it was very, very good. You know, the undead brides helping Su Yung, you know, with the coffin down to the ring. Then Ali coming out to her music and then letting out a scream and turning into the Rosemary thing. I think it was presented really, really well.
Mm-hmm.
The actual action in the ring wasn't very good. Oh, actually, there was one thing I just wanted to say, which made me laugh. I mentioned this on the other show I do as well, was that Su Yung seemed surprised, which all that tells us is that she doesn't watch Impact.
Because,
Ali had the makeup on last week, so obviously Su Young's not a fan.
We'd hope that she was, but yeah, I understand where you're coming from.
So Su Yung, you know, did sell it, you know, like, oh my god, what's going on kind of thing very well.
Mm-hmm.
The match itself, I thought, was very basic, you know, and there was a lot of trying to push it into the coffin, those kind of things.
Well, that's what it's going to be, though, isn't it, in honesty? I think you're being harsh on the match, in honesty, but I'll let you carry on with your thoughts.
Well, you say I'm being harsh, but they showed on the flashback Sting versus
Abyss.
Abyss.
Yeah.
Everyone knows why I made that mistake. The Sting versus Abyss match, which was last night, and that seemed much more, you know, fun and brutal. Anyway.
Was that the one where they chanted, "This match sucks," and you know, fire Russo or whatever? Was that the match that happened?
Quite possibly, I can't remember.
Because you brought this point up, it just made me think, why would you show this match after that match whilst trying to build your brand in the UK?
Absolutely right, because that match looked like $1 million compared to it, didn't it?
No, I don't mean that. I mean, to be honest, I skipped it, so I skipped the Sting versus Abyss match, sorry. So I'm not sure, but I remember some kind of match and they chanted, "This match sucks, fire Russo." And I'm thinking, if it was that match, why would you show this match on, you know, a big under pressure pay-per-view Impact Wrestling taping to market your brand in the UK? If that was that match that I'm thinking of, that's what I mean.
I can't remember. I didn't hear the chants, but it could very well be in that. But the reason why I was saying it looked $1 million was that the crowd was massive, and also, you know, the Sting was bleeding, so he had, you know, scarlet face.
Yeah,
it just looked much more important than the one that had just been, which was pretty standard and boring in comparison.
Mm.
The thing I did like about the match was the result. I think it was the right result, but also the use of the mandible claw. Which you don't see anyone use it, not since there you go, back to
back to Abyss.
So, yeah. So I do like that she uses that as a different finisher, and it played in with, you know, the match, you know, getting it and knocking her out into the coffin. So I like the presentation of everything, but the match itself was pretty poor.
I think for me, I completely agree with the presentation. I think this has been a really worked feud with Rosemary involved as well, and then the Demon Bunny stuff, although I'd miss the part where they became tag team partners probably before Callis and Demorte took over, when I really got involved in Impact Wrestling again. That was really good. I thought the match was you know, pretty decent as well. For a casket match, it's always going to revolve around the casket, isn't it? So I liked that was introduced into a women's match and a women's feud, because, you know, obviously breaking down boundaries and gender barriers and stuff is what's been happening since 2016. So I was happy about that. I'm surprised that Su Yung didn't use the mist. I thought she was going to at one point. That didn't happen. And much like you, I love the mandible claw as a finisher. I remember when Mankind used the mandible claw on himself when Ken Shamrock was giving him the ankle lock, and he passed out from the mandible claw, not to tap out from the ankle lock. So That's one of my favourite memories as a wrestling fan.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
and obviously Mankind kind of moved it into the testicular claw as well. Was that someone else? I can't remember.
No, that was probably Mankind. In terms of the new champion and stuff, I'm on board with that. Keeps Tessa Blanchard away from Su Yung for a while, unless the title changes hands. So, I'm happy in that situation because you've got two new female knockouts. Two new knockouts, and they're not going to be fighting each other for the title. That's really good booking, in all honesty, because that's a money match down the line in some way, shape, or form. So, yeah.
They've got so many variations that they can be, because Rosemary has to come back. So there's a Rosemary versus Ali feud that could happen, Rosemary versus Su Yung. There's, as you say, Tessa that's going to be involved in that as well. So, yeah, there's some great ones. And even Sienna coming back, you know, she could fit in very easily to all of this as well. So there's some really good matches in the knockout division, and it's been booked very, very well.
Yeah, and Ty Valkyrie as well. She's still involved, isn't she? So, and obviously we talked about her last time, and she seems to be getting, you know, good exposure on Impact and stuff. Kira Hogan is one of the newest knockouts, isn't she? One of the youngest as well. So, no, the knockout division is pretty stacked, in all honesty, isn't it? So, it'd be interesting to see where they go from there. We've kind of already talked about Sonjay Dutt being taken out backstage and Pete Williams finding him. You believe, jokingly, that Pete Williams is the person involved in this ex beatdown and stuff. So that moves us swiftly on to the main event, which is...
Oh, there is one segment you forgot. I do want to talk about it.
What have I forgot?
The LAX.
Oh, yeah, LAX, yeah.
It's on a comment on Eddie Kingston. It's suddenly interesting. And, you know, we get asked on our show quite a lot, you know, who do you want to see end Brian Cage's career, who do you want to see?
Yeah, we don't want to see him see somebody end his career. It's only just, you know what I mean? But, yeah,
unless, of course, Eddie Edwards wants to murder him.
Yeah, that's another segment we've kind of missed out, in all honesty. Yeah,
we'll come back to that in a second. As well. But the LAX segment, Eddie Kingston's interesting. But the one person who I think will eventually be a singles breakout star, and I might have mentioned this last time, is Santana.
Mm.
I think he's just got it. And he will one day, I'm convinced, either be champion in WWE or Impact, a world champion.
Wow.
He's got a great look. He's really good on the mic, and he's brilliant in the ring. I don't know if he needs to bulk up a little bit. I'm not sure. But he's the complete, you know, he's brilliant. He's really, really good. Mm. I like the segment that they did with this, and, you know, kept Cult of Lee in the kind of scene as well. They added a segment where they opened up the suitcase, a bit like Pulp Fiction, where there was a light coming out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And going, whoa, what's in the suitcase? It was a burrito. I'm short of burrito. Because that's what I would do if I saw a burrito in a suitcase. I'd go, wow, that's amazing. Okay. Yeah, so I just really like the segment. And, you know, I think just like Tessa not being involved in the main event scene and there's many matches down the line, mm-hmm. I think they've done a really good job keeping LAX interesting out of the title scene.
Yeah, that's a fair point. Really glad to see Eddie Kingston back in Impact Wrestling. He was part of, there was a group, weren't they?
The Beatdown Clan? Or
yeah,
or
yeah.
No, it was that one, wasn't it?
I think he's part of that, wasn't he?
James Storm and, was it Bram? I think it was Bram, wasn't it?
I don't think I was watching at the time, but no, Eddie Kingston is a, you know, great talker and really underrated in the ring. So I was happy to see him. As soon as like King was mentioned, I was like, please be him. And then I was obviously really happy that it was him. But
I was hoping it was going to be King Mo, but then like.
But yeah, I'm kind of thinking, okay, well, Conan's been taken out and we kind of don't know anything more than that, really. That's just happened, and I guess for whatever reason he's off TV. Whether he's gone, I don't know. Maybe you can shed some light.
Yeah, I think he's had hip surgery.
Oh, okay.
I think he had a hip replacement or something like that. So.
Oh, okay. So it's an injury related thing, and he's just off TV for that, not because he's gone from the company.
Well, I mean, he might have been gone for the company, but yeah, the real reason is that they keep referencing it. I think they'd have just written him out if he'd been gone. So yeah. I'm guessing it's just the injury. Yeah.
And obviously you mentioned it just before this. What do we make of Eddie Edwards saying he's going to murder Sami Callihan in the woods?
Yeah. That's all I can say. once again, I think it's interesting that, well, they finally made Eddie Edwards interesting. I've never cared about him whatsoever, but I'm really enjoying it. And Sami Callihan is probably been the MVP of this year. And I don't mean MVP as in the wrestler.
Yeah.
I mean, as in he's been brilliant. And every angle he's been involved in, he's elevated it. And Eddie Edwards, such a bland babyface. And now he's interesting. So, yeah, it's stupid, the word murder, but it's entertaining.
It's like when Austin came to the ring with a gun on SmackDown. you know what I mean?
And
well, there was that as well, wasn't there? But I guess that was more realistic TV that could happen. But this was to get back at the NWO for some reason, if I remember correctly. I don't know. There's wrestling's escapism, and yeah, you can mix reality with fiction and stuff, but there is that line, and I think they're getting quite close to it, to be honest, depending on how it goes. So moving swiftly on to the main event, Pentagon Jr. against Austin Aries for the Impact World Championship. What did you make of this match?
I'm going to go back to what I said on Brian Cage, and the ending where he held up the hand was great. And this has Don Callis written all over it again. I love the way that this match was booked, and I don't like double counters. I like the fact they started it up twice, but the ending was just fantastic. Austin Aries, we finally know he's an absolute heel, because he's been hinting at it, being arrogant, those kind of things, but now, just literally in a 15-second segment, he is now full-blown heel, and I think they've done it brilliantly. But the whole Pentagon with the belt thing was a mistake in that it hasn't worked. Well, I say it's a mistake. It could have worked, but they've given Pentagon no time at all to, do a promo or to do backstage segments. They've had one or two little vignettes. Mm-hmm. But they've given Pentagon Jr. no character and no reason for anyone to care as him for champ, the fact that he was champ. Mm-hmm. So they've done the right reason. They've done the right thing, put it back on Aries, which he should never have lost it, and they've now made Aries a heel, and you know that he's a heel, so that's a great thing. So overall, I thought the match was really good anyway. I thought the match was excellent, but I liked the double false ending, and then they kept on, was that the old dusty ending? Is that what they called it? Or,
dusty finish, isn't it?
Dusty finish, yeah. And just the way that the actual eventual finish came was brilliant. Loved it.
Yeah, I thought the match was really good. The first double count out, okay, restart the match. The second double count didn't make sense, because surely at that point count outs don't matter anymore. So I was surprised it didn't say like no count out kind of thing. But much like you, loved the ending. I think Austin Aries would have stayed the character he was if, circumstances had have gone a different way, obviously with Al Patron and whatever, but they needed to move things along in a different way once that happened. And then he was, cocky and obviously lost to Pentagon Jr., had his arm in a sling. I'm still the champion of Impact, grand champion and stuff. So, yeah, Austin Aries is at his best when he's cocky, arrogant, thinks that he's better than people because of the skills that he's got in the ring. He probably is. So it all makes sense. And that low blow and brain buster is, a fantastic way to end the show. Not necessarily for Pentagon Jr., but definitely as a fan, because you're like, okay, well, what happens next? because, you know, who's going to challenge him next? Because like you said before, Brian Cage is going for the X title. So it really does open it up to, okay, well, who's going to be the next challenger for Austin Aries? And unless it's a rematch with Pentagon Jr., it's really up in the air.
I mean, I think if Eli sorts his contract out, it could very well be Eli as a face in it to get his redemption, for want of a better phrase, Austin Aries. But I think it's most probably going to be Moose, is the way I reckon it might go. Just because Moose looks like finishes stuff with Congo Kong, and he's the only other real face in the company. And by the way, I don't like Moose that much either.
You don't like anyone, do you, Adam? Why are we talking Impact Wrestling when you don't like anyone? You don't like John Morrison, you don't like Petey Williams, you don't like Moose.
I like Petey Williams. My four favourite, by the way, are Cult of Lee. Those two are brilliant.
Yeah, I agree with that.
KM and Falabar, I love them as well.
Okay.
And I know we're getting into, okay, you like comedy characters, Adam. But I do like
you like well. You like comedy characters, Adam.
But I think Brian Cage is great, Austin Aries, and Eli Drake. You know, there's a load on there, like, but there's just a few who annoy me. Austin Aries is good as well. But,
yeah.
I'm glad they're finally defining characters, because that's what's, as Don Callis has said, you know, you had too many cool heels.
Yeah.
Eli Drake, Austin Aries, and they're all people who are being cheered despite the fact that they're not particularly likable.
Yeah.
At least now that they're getting away from that grey area, they're going more black and white, and that's good.
No, well, that happened with Sami Callihan, didn't it, really? Because he was given the opportunity to say, you know, the stuff with Eddie Edwards in the beginning was an accident, and he hasn't said that. He said he did it on purpose, and his stock's just gone through the roof, because now he's like that Brian Pillman, loose cannon kind of character, isn't he? So, he's been able to capitalize on that in the greatest way, and Eddie Edwards has been able to... you know, show this other side to him. So, when you're talking about characters, I think that's one of the best things that they've done since Callis and D'Amore has taken over. The characters are getting defined, and there's a reason for them to be fighting. Every single match on a card seems to have a reason for it to happen, and that's great to see.
We should start our wrestling promotion, Oliver. We know how to book, and we know what would work, so that's good. Yeah. I've got a question for you, actually, if you don't mind. My knowledge of this is not great, but they've announced that Joe Hendry is going to be debuting with the company on their social media.
Yeah.
Obviously, as a British wrestling fan, I don't know much about him.
Yeah.
Should I be excited about this guy?
He basically sang his own ring theme tune. In the different places he was wrestling in, which brought people's attention to him. In the ring, he's a really good wrestler. I haven't seen much of him lately. The last I saw of him was on commentary for Five Star Wrestling. It's great that he's been given this opportunity, because he's really good. And it's just how he capitalized on it, really. That's all I can say. He's just a wrestler's wrestler with great charisma. So, you know, will he be a good fit for Impact Wrestling? Only time will tell.
That sounds promising. That's good. I'm looking forward to that.
No, he's definitely somebody who could change the landscape. Really, really good wrestler and character wise and stuff. Just another great cog in the machine for Impact Wrestling, really, because, you know, this is Scotland, this is the UK, and, you know, they want to get back into the UK again. You know, Grado's come back on the scene, obviously. So, those kind of people getting opportunities is the best way forward in regaining that lost viewership that you had in the UK, really. It's a great way of going about it.
Brilliant. Well, definitely looking forward to seeing him.
Yeah.
And I think Impact is getting stronger week by week. And I know the ratings don't always review that.
Yeah.
But I think sometimes when it comes to wrestling, there, do ratings really matter? Because people watch it in so many different ways.
Yeah, exactly. It's become the on-demand era, in all honesty. I didn't watch Under Pressure Live Well, we couldn't, could we? It's Thursday night. So the earliest you can watch it is Friday night at 11:20 at night. And I was like, no. So I've watched it on, you know, Sunday at midday. And obviously we're doing this show at 7 o'clock on the evening. So it's about on demand now. The ratings are important because they do bring in revenue, but it's not as important as it used to be.
Just to let you know, by the way, on the GWN app, yeah, the Wrestling Network app, which is free, you can subscribe or you can get it for free. You can watch it as soon as it airs in America over here now.
Oh, okay.
Friday morning. So that's how I've watched it the last few weeks. It's just watching it on my phone.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
Thought I'd point that out as well.
Yeah, no, it's good. I had the GWN app and I was using it to, you know, to research for my third book. So, you know, I definitely think the GWN app is a really good piece of equipment, because just for the old school, and we can actually say at this point, Adam, the TNA, the old school TNA, the AJ Styles, the Jerry Lynn's, low keys, you know, the amount of people have had fantastic matches. Christopher Daniels, Samoa Joe, you know, it's all on there, and it's amazing to watch it back, in honesty. So yeah, just wrapping up, I saw this earlier today and I want to get your opinion on it because we're doing an Impact Wrestling show. Okay, so Chris Jericho has started following Impact Wrestling across all social medias. I came across an interview with Sami Callihan talking about how he's not booked on Chris Jericho's cruise, etc., etc. And I'm wondering, does, you know, 1 + 1 = 2 in this situation, and are we going to see Chris Jericho in the Impact Zone?
It's never going to happen. Oh, if I was seeing a Jericho, never, ever going to happen. Honestly, I don't see it. I think Don Callis and Jericho are friends. That they're really good friends, and I think Jericho was instrumental in Callis getting the gig at Impact. And I just think that Jericho's trolling fans a little bit and helping his friend Don Callis out. I genuinely will be amazed if anything ever happens with Jericho in a ring for Impact. And if it happens, brilliant. I don't think it's going to move the needle that much. I think it'll be a great bit of PR, but, you know, it'll be a one-off match. Maybe it's Slammiversary, maybe it's Bound for Glory. But I don't think it'll happen. What, do you think it will?
I don't know why you would film that, like, happening as somebody was going to a show if there wasn't something there, in all honesty. Why does Chris Jericho need the publicity for his cruise when, you know, tickets are selling like hotcakes? Obviously, Impact Wrestling are trying to get more eyes on the product, but you got Sami Callihan going up against Eddie Edwards, so what does Chris Jericho being involved, why do you need that to happen? So I'm thinking it's a possibility, in all honesty. I think obviously Eddie Edwards, Sami Callihan's got to be done and dusted, and if it is, Eddie Edwards ain't winning it, because Sami Callihan won't be available at Slammiversary if he's quote-unquote murdered. So yeah, I think that would, and you're saying it won't move the needle much. I think if Chris Jericho turned up in Impact Wrestling, we wouldn't be the only two people that are shouting it from the rooftops about how good it's been since they've taken over. Everyone will be on the bandwagon, and we started it a long time ago, but people will be jumping on left, right, and centre. Simple as that.
I hope it happens.
I could see it happening. I could really see it happening based on what we're talking about. And going back to Austin Aries for a second, I think the rematch against Pentagon Jr. is going to be Slammiversary, and I think it will be that way because Lucha Underground starts 13th of June, so they'll want Lucha Underground and Impact will want to tie into each other once again. And that's the best way to get them both exposure on the biggest pay-per-view of the year for Impact Wrestling.
You might be right on that one. I don't know. But the thing is, it's going to be a good match. But if they do it, they need to help Pentagon in some fashion, you know, in getting him over, because, you know, the Impact crowd, I don't care about him. And as an Impact...
I don't know, so much the Zero Fero thing is crazy in the Impact zone. But the thing is, we're talking about two different crowds, like you said, with the flashback and the crowd that's there now. It's in a different venue. It really is, and the energy isn't once what it was. That's the thing that comes across to me.
People in the Impact zone had the threat, the same people week in, week out.
Yeah.
When I went to see Slammiversary last year, I met all those people and I was talked to them. I went there for 3 nights and I talked to them all. And I recognise them from when I talked to them. So it's the same every block of tapings.
Yeah.
And they are going to do the Zero Fear stuff and, you know, and do all the cool chants, etc.
Yeah.
But it's the people behind, you know, in the bleachers who, you know, that's where the crowd is not happening. And I think that they're doing the right thing in trying to go to Windsor, Ontario and mm-hmm. all these other places. But I think they need to maybe film with the Impact Zone once a year. And, you know, and if they're going to do, let's say, 7-8 tapings over the year,
yeah,
then they need to go to a different city each time, you know. And it could be anywhere. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it's down in San Jose or up in Philadelphia or wherever it is. It doesn't matter, because if you only go there once a year, it's going to be sold out. Like when I used to come to the UK, it was sold out.
But wasn't the Windsor, Ontario taping sold out?
Yeah, but it was only a very small arena. But that doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it really doesn't matter at this point.
No.
You know, if you sell out, I think it was like 300 is the maximum with the rings. It was a small, pretty small arena.
Yeah.
But that doesn't matter. As long as they make a lot of noise and they're paying fans and want to be there,
yeah,
then it's going to come over on TV. So
absolutely.
They did the thing with Dixie going through the table. That was a ballroom, wasn't it, in New York?
Yeah, yeah.
You could go back there and do a couple of shows. You know, you're going to get a good crowd, especially if you've got someone like Sammy Callahan there. That's the kind of New York crowd will love, won't
they? Mm-hmm. So, absolutely. So basically, when you said about starting up our own promotion, we're kind of there, aren't we, really? You got My Fantasy booking and you're trying to book venues. So all we need now is somebody's money and we're ready to go.
Just, make sure that if you do tweet Oliver about this, you know, and you've got financing for it, yeah, make sure you copy me in as well. That's all I ask.
Yeah.
Don't leave me on the side.
Yeah, I'll copy you in. I can't find you on any of the social medias, but yeah, I'll copy you in. I'll copy in somebody that knows you, maybe.
I've got Tito Ortiz's number as well, so we can bring him with us.
Yes, let's bring Tito. That's yeah. So that kind of rounds up Under Pressure Impact Wrestling review. It's gone 48 minutes, which is a lot over 30, but it's all good fun. So thank you very much for your time this evening, Adam. It's as always a pleasure.
Yeah, always a pleasure.
And
let's coming on.
Yeah, and obviously when anything Impact Wrestling related comes on the agenda, I'm gonna get back in contact with yourself. Because, you know, you're the man to speak to about this. And, that wraps it up for Broken But Glorious Wrestling Podcast this evening. I'm your host, Oliver Newman, author of A Fan's Perspective 2016, Why Are You To Be A Fan Of WWE? And A Fan's Perspective, One Man's Exploration Of British Wrestling, both available on paperback and Kindle via Amazon Now. And I'm working on and have completed my third book as well, and that's coming out soon. And then just for the events coming on BBGW Pod in the next few days, myself, Chris Lappin, Nick Davey are back for a show on Tuesday night, to be released on Wednesday morning. And that wraps everything up, really. So, social media-wise, Adam, if you want to plug anything.
Thanks. It'd be great if you guys do want to check out more content. I help with a show called The Impact Lounge. You can find us on YouTube, and you know, we've got a few things up there. Like I did an Aces and Eights special, if any of you remember that. TNA, I can say it this time.
Yeah.
TNA fans, we did an Aces and Eights special retrospective. We've got a few things up there, like an interview with Moose, who was terrible and boring, by the way. That's not my fault. I was awesome. Go to the YouTube channel, check it out, and make sure you hit subscribe.
Okay. So that's another one on your hit list, isn't it, really? You're really rounding up enemies in Impact Wrestling, but
It's me. I'm taking them all out.
Yeah, I digress. You know, when we're working on this, you know, fantasy promotion of ours, we're not going to be able to work with Impact Wrestling. It's going to be your fault, you know, don't you? Yeah, okay, as long as you do. And yeah, for myself, social media wise, it's twitter.com/Brumial, facebook.com/AFansPerspectiveUK, instagram.com/Brumial, and for the podcast, it is twitter.com/BBGWpod. And facebook.com/BBGWpod. And merchandise wise, we have merch. It is teespring.com/broken-but-glorious. Thanks very much for listening. Bye for now. Bye.